Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome in. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. He is Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. And we are live at Fordyce Center in Bellevue. It is Predators training camp. We're excited to be here today and looking forward to having a good time.
We are having a good time, buddy. There you go. Thank you, pal. Sounds good.
Is that better?
It's 1,000 degrees outside, and it's like 50 in here, and it feels perfect.
Oh, yeah. It feels great. Barry Trotz, Predators general manager, will join us in about 15 minutes. So we're looking forward to having him in the first hour of the show. Our first conversation with him, I know he spoke yesterday. He had the line of the day as well. We hope to have Chris Sanders, but they're traveling he's with the Big Red, and so he may not be able to join today.
Where are they? Don't say it. There's only two places. Oh, they're going to Knoxville.
They're going to Knox Webb, I think.
Catholic.
Knox Catholic.
So Friday night football. I'm excited to hear you and Coach Spears and Dr. Crane on the call tonight. Hillsborough, Glencliff.
Yeah. I got to say, Dr. Crane has been a joy to have. He's done a great job on the sideline with getting the coaches. It feels very big time, and I think that's the whole point. That's what we wanted to do. We wanted to make this
sure.
big time.
Yeah.
And having him as a sideline reporter has been very cool.
Did you see the latest rankings on sideline reporters? It's Aaron Andrews, Pam Oliver, Dr. Crane.
That, I believe it.
Pretty good, Dr. Crane, huh?
Good.
Thank you for the kind words. I'm in good company. So
not me. That's
much.
Variety in Gentleman's Quarterly. GQ put that out.
You're in good co.
Yeah, right?
That's
well
good.
Done.
That is good. Anyway, but we're excited to be here at Preds training camp today. I was watching some of practice earlier. I got to talk to Terry Crisp, which, I mean, look, I'm name dropping, but that was obviously a joy, Pete Weber. And we got the Titans coming up on Sunday. Can they get their first win of the year? Robbie Stanley is convinced that the Titans are going to win 24-21.
Is he?
He is, and I think he's talking other people into it as well.
Who?
He might be talking me into it.
There's no way.
I don't know.
Not until I see them win a game will I have any confidence in that team at all.
But I will say this. Breaking news. It's not that breaking. But Adam Schefter, do you know who's going to start for the Washington Commanders on Sunday?
It's Mariota.
Marcus Mariota.
Who are they playing?
The Raiders.
That's crazy. He's in his 11th year in the league. And this will be Titans, Falcons, Raiders, Commanders. Is that – am I leaving one team out? But
Falcons, Raiders, Commanders. I feel like you are leaving.
And, of course, the Titans. So
yeah, he left here to go to the Raiders.
Yeah, I think so. And then the Falcons with Art Smith, and that ended badly. Eagles. He was at the Eagles for a year.
Yeah, that's right.
That's it. So good for, you know, good for Marcus. I mean, 11 years in the league, good for him. Stay, like Tim Hasselbeck said, stay until all 32 teams stay at a pound sand. So good for Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, look, I think he's a fine
young man.
He's a fine young man.
He's a fine young man.
He's a fine backup. He's just not a starter in this league.
But I think that offense fits him well because Daniels likes to run and ad lib, and that's what Marcus did when he was here. You know, when he was here, I was fascinated because one of the first questions he got was, you've never taken a snap under center at Oregon.
You're right. I have been scared of that ever since. Any quarterback that said, I'm like, oh, no.
Never took a snap under center. So I'm glad when Tim Hasselbeck comes on Tuesdays, he still believes quarterbacks should go from under center, you know?
Yeah,
it's funny. We were watching the Cowboys documentary and watching Troy Aikman do the straight drop back in his early days. Like, God, I remember that. They all did that. Nobody did the shotgun. And they did it. You know, it's funny. Steve Spurrier never did the shotgun Danny Werfel. But Danny Werfel, in 1996, Florida State last game of the year, Florida State pounded Danny Werfel. He could not get anywhere. So Spurrier's like, all right, we got to go to the shotgun. They're like, that's when things changed around, that Spurrier has now come on board with the shotgun. And that's when it kind of evolved from that point on.
615-737-1025 is our phone and text line. driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can weigh on anything that we are talking about today, including our question of the day.
So it is the weekend. It's going to be nice outside. Tennessee plays tomorrow, MTSU tomorrow night, Vandy tomorrow night, Titans on Sunday. We like to cook out on the weekends. So the question of the day is, and I'd like to know, it was a debate this morning at the gym. What are you a master chef of? Like, if I came to your house, Chase, what could you cook that's five-star, so good that you could get hired at the best restaurant in the world? I want to know what you cook so well that you are considered an expert on.
SpaghettiOs?
Can you do it on a grill?
No, on a grill.
On a grill.
I am pretty good at grilling a steak. Dad taught me that at a very young age. If you want medium rare, I will get you medium rare.
Is there a
with
trick?
Grill marks. No, it's just knowing your grill and knowing the timing and all that
knowing
stuff.
Your grill.
Look, grill. Every grill's different.
So. And off of that, what's your go-to? I can't do anything. I love charcoal, right? So one time I cooked out for my kids. My daughter was in town, and then I lighted, you know, with the match, and then my son-in-law's best friend says, "Hey, Mr. Dubin, there's a matchstick in my cheeseburger." True story. Absolutely 100% true story. I was like, I'm done. And it was, I can't cook out. I can't do any of that stuff. So I'm curious what to know. You know, it's a little fun question on a weekend. Dr. Crane, I know you're the expert, right?
I have maple sriracha ribs that I may have perfected to the point where I could be hired by Gordon Ramsay if need be.
Really?
Yeah. My grandfather used to cook teriyaki ribs for my mom for her birthday every year.
Oh, yummy.
And so we were kind of at a loss of, like, well, he's not here anymore. Who's going to cook that? I was like, you know what? How about we do maple sriracha ribs? So, you know, you use the mustard as the binder, and then I have some dry ingredients that you put on for the rub, let it marinate for 6 hours, get the charring of the grill, little char marks, take it off, put the wet ingredients on it, and then after that, you put it back on and wrap it up in tinfoil and let it just fall off the bone. Short ribs, by the way, the spare ribs, St. Louis style.
I couldn't do that if you gave me a year. I could not cook that. I don't know. Good for you, man.
It was an experiment, which is kind of crazy.
All right. Well, that's just, let us know. I want to know what you're good at doing. And so Chase is good at the steak. I'm good at nothing. And Dr. Crane is good at whatever he just said.
615-737-1025. And our question of the day is presented by Aries Tactical. Your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Check them out at Aries Tactical. com. So we will take your answers to those questions. A couple have come through. Michael and Madison, I can throw a mean Tombstone frozen pizza in the oven.
Yes.
Let's see. Hair Metal Henry, master of the smoked brisket, and it's really in 6 hours. None of this 18 hours crap. I have had Hair Metal Henry's brisket, and I can't confirm.
Do you marinate?
Yeah. I mean, you'll do, like, I think a lot of people do a dry rub.
My brother used to marinate.
My buddy Phil makes a mean brisket, too.
My brother used to marinate with Löwenbräu.
Okay.
Do you know what that is?
No.
Oh, my God. Generational gap here. Dr. Crane, you ever heard of Löwenbräu?
I have.
It's a beer.
Oh, okay.
In the 80s, which was really.
Sounds German.
Maybe. I don't know. It sounded good, but he would marinate with Löwenbräu. Okay. God, I miss Löwenbräu. Hair Metal Henry probably had many Löwenbräus back in the day. But that's a beer that people, but he
would marinate. What was the beer we were talking about the other day, and you said your dad probably liked it before, like Bud Light and Miller Light?
Oh, was it Stroh's?
No, it was.
We were in Wisconsin.
It and starts with an S, I think.
Schinerbach? No, not Schinerbach. Oh, God, what was it?
It
was in the neighborhood of Löwenbräu. I mean, it was in that world back in the 70s. And
Schaefer?
No.
That's a good beer, though. What was the
Schlitz.
Schlitz, yes! Yes!
Yeah,
that's sure everybody waiting right now is like, yeah, oh, yeah, my dad or my uncle had Schlitz back in the day. Yeah,
that was it. That was it.
Nice.
Because I said, I don't think I've ever had that. And he goes, you said your dad probably drank that when he first, like, became of age.
Schlitz. Schlitz malt liquor.
And then PBR was at it. Hams was another one.
Ham, my gosh. Forgot about that.
Well, with that, okay, never mind. I thought Veritrotz was about to walk in, so I was about to step away.
Oh, my gosh.
615-737-1025. if you want to weigh in on our question of the day, now we're getting spotted cow. One spotted cow. We had lots of spotted. Did you try the spotted
cow? I did not try spotted cow. I should have. I stuck with tequila, and that was a bad move in Wisconsin.
Well, I think that and the ice cream and cheese curds is probably didn't help. I'm just glad we had separate rooms. Usually it's you glad that I'm not in the room. I was glad you weren't in the room.
Yeah. So. All right, yeah, Löwenbräu. Here's one. Yeah, oh my God, I totally forgot about Löwenbräu. That was my dad's go-to in the late 70s. Thanks, we just pop up on this show. Yeah, so my brother would pour it on and would marinate with that, and it was perfection. He was like Dr. Crane before Dr. Crane. Perfection.
Coming up next, we're going to be joined by Predators general manager Barry Trotz. Obviously, a lot to get into with the opening of training camp. The latest on Luke Evangelista. And so much more. We're looking forward to having the GM on with us next. We're live at Ford Ice Center in Bellevue. For Predators training camp, it's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Well, we heard this last night at the Rock the Cradle event. Little Tim McGraw, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Friday. We're at Ford Ice Center for Predators training camp and very pleased to be joined by the general manager of the Nashville Predators, Barry Trotz, who I continue to refer to as coach because it's just old habit. But you're good. The GM. That's what
good.
You are.
I don't mind that. That's a lot of the people at the arena call me that. So when I'm walking with Bruno, a lot of times we'll both look at the people and say hi. So
coach and coach.
It's good to get it started.
It's both of you. Yeah, I was watching some practice earlier today. What do you think so far? You're a couple days in, and obviously not a huge sample size, but it looks like these guys have come in ready to go.
No, they really have. I think there's a, you know, I'll say a focus, if you will, on, you know, our veterans are leading the way, and they're much more comfortable. If you talk to any of our guys that came in last year, they are a lot more comfortable. I think they all feel like they can take a bigger piece of the overall pie, if you will. And I think, you know, you're also seeing that the evolution of some of our draft choices that are evolving and what happens, you know, players know, even before management knows sometimes, who's really good, who's going to be good. And, you know, you're starting to get feedback from the veterans like this guy is going to be good. And they're just evolving. So, you know, like today, you know, guys, that if you're watching the short scrimmages that they had, you know, you're going to notice guys like Matthew Wood and obviously Brady Martin. Everybody's looking at Brady Martin. He thinks like a pro. He's just going to have to, you know, take some time and get stronger and bigger and faster, like we all want our 18-year-old players to be to play against men. So, you know, a guy like Cole O'Hara, who's a little bit off the radar, he starts playing with, I'll say the veteran players, and you see that he can play at that level. He can think at that level. A lot of times guys can skate at that level, but they can't think at that level. So we've
still
got a lot
too
of,
fast.
Yeah, a lot of players that are starting to transition into that, and that's a great thing. Reed Schaefer, we got a lot on the wings. You know, obviously we started last year with guys like LaRue Evangelista from year before, and so we have a lot of wingers coming, which is really exciting. And you know, you look at a guy like Fedor Svechkov, for instance, this year. I mean, he looks like a different player.
Yeah,
he really does, and that's what a
seems
year,
more comfortable, more relaxed too.
Yeah, I think you know, there's times last year where he could play, but then he would sort of labor through the game.
Yeah,
it's probably he looked like he was carrying the weight of the world, trying to make sure that he was doing everything right. And I think everything's coming more naturally. He's got that extra, I'm going to call it a little bit of man strength kicking in now. And I think there's a real confidence in that. So, and then what we did in terms of, our defense, we're big back there now. Getting, you know, a healthy Roman Josi is going to make a world of difference. You know, that's a game changer for us. And, you know, Brady Shea, I was walking as I was coming over here. I mean, him and Nick Perbix played together, and they really seemed to complement each other really well. So we had a lot of good things. And you know, a guy that was starting to have an opportunity last year to really start his game was really kicking in was Adam Willsby. And I thought he was fantastic today.
Yeah.
He's got such great feet. So, The one place that I thought we were small and we got depleted last year was on defense, and right now it looks like a strength for us. We'll continue to try to develop our and draft at the center ice position. But we have some guys coming. You know, David Edstrom, every time he steps on the ice, he looks like he's, you know, just a little bit better, a little bit better, a little bit better, a little more comfortable.
I'll cover this one quickly because I know everybody's asking. Yeah. Where are you on Luke Evangelista in that deal?
Well, I think we're probably at a little bit of a standstill. Their side, I think the one thing that we both agree is in the right term is in a is sort of a 2-year deal, and yeah. It's just at this point it's you know, we're just too far apart right now that we can do a deal. So that's where we are. There's no, I don't think there's any ill will on both sides. It's just the business part with Luke, and Luke, you know, he's doing and his representation are doing what they're doing, and they have that right, just as we have our right. So we love Luke. I hope Luke gets, we can get something done in the near future, and you know, we've sort of created this opportunity with our young people, Luke being one of them, for especially this year and the following year, where, you know, we're, this is really the transitional part of our, where we're going. So I'm sure we'll get something done at some point, but as of today, we have nothing.
You have to wear the GM hat and look at this through that lens, but how much does the years of coaching help you with negotiations, because you might be able to look at a player a little bit differently than some of the other managers in the league?
Yeah, I look at it probably more as a coach than I do as a manager at times, because you always see paths of players, how much they drive, maybe a line, the team, where they are in the development. You know, we look at players that are develop in different ways. They develop on the ice and off the ice, and where they are on and off the ice. Sometimes you have a player that's got lots of game, but off the ice, in terms of the, you know, where he is in his human development, it's not quite there. But when the two come together, then you know what the player is and how productive they are, and you know, all those things come together. So I look at it more as a coach sometimes, and the dollars and cents and the comparables and all that. I probably look at it a little different than someone who's pure numbers guy.
Talking to GM Barry Trotz on the Chasing Big Joe show. Last year, I know a lot of us, the disappointment and everything. For you, was it mad or frustrated or both? Because you have a lot of talent on this team.
Yeah, it was frustrating for the fact that I coached a lot of teams in Nashville over the years. And I know the talent level that was available multiple years, some years better than others. And I knew that there was a lot more talent in that group. And we just couldn't get off the mat. There was a, you know, we always say that sometimes you got to let people blend in and settle in and feel comfortable and all that. We never got to that place, unfortunately. You know, you think back last year, even the first game, I thought we played Dallas really well. We played, I thought, a really strong game, but we just couldn't get a save that night, and that happened some nights. And that was, I think, Juice was sick, and Wedgie found out he was playing, like, you know, 2 hours before the game, and he was going to be the starter type of thing. And we just never really got that game. And, you know, Steven Stamkos, I think, rang one off the post with seconds to go, and you know, you come back and win that game, the whole season could have been way different. And then I think we went on to Detroit and just, you know, couldn't find the offense and couldn't find our game, and we lost that, and it's just sort of snowballed on us. And you know, I think there was some expectations, and that those expectations weighed on us a little bit, and I just think we sort of got neutralized. You know, we had the that pressure plus the new guys coming in and the old regime and everybody, where do we fit? Where's our seat on the bus? And we just got neutralized too early to have any traction.
when somebody says you can't win the Stanley Cup in October, but you can lose it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you can't make the play. You know, you can't make the playoffs in October, but you can certainly put yourself in a position not to make the playoffs to have a chance to win the Stanley Cup. And we were a prime example of that. You know, and as the season went on, you know, you're chasing it the whole time. It seemed like we never got an easy goal. And then we weren't able to hang on to the, you know, we get momentum. I it was like a script for last year.
Right.
You know, we maybe a slow start and a team would score. We'd battle back and get it tied up. And then the next shift they would score or we'd take a penalty and all the momentum would shift. We'd have that great offensive shift for a minute and a half and, you know, and hopefully build on it with the next shift and the next shift. And we'd lose the puck and take a penalty, and then we were just, it was one of those years where we couldn't get out of our own way. So we tried to, you know, say have a little bit of a reboot, turn the computer off, really look at our what we had, how we could fix it, and go forward, and not react in a way that was, this is never going to work. The plan, as I said, is been, we've been staying on the plan. It's just been, it's always been in pen. It's just the path has been in pencil for us a little bit. So I always said when we got here, we needed some of those top players to sort of hold the fort for till our young guys arrive. And, you know, all the things that we did, I moved a lot of people out. I thought we'd have a better year, so I just started this year, a little bit last year. And what we did is we moved five 30-year-old players out, 30 or above, and only brought one in. We got way bigger on defense. I can't give you the exact size, but way bigger on defense. We got way younger on this, on all the moves that we made last year. We might have took a step back, you know, in some of those trades. I mean, like a guy like Alex Carrier, for instance, is a really good player. But he was just getting into that 30-year-old range, a little bit smaller. And we're going to take a chance with a 24, 25-year-old Justin Barron, who's, you know, a lot bigger, probably has a little bit more of the dynamic skill set in terms of skating and shot and what have you. And now we've got to grow his game. And we've done an excellent job in this organization over the years of developing defensemen. And so when we, you know, we did all those moves, I think we moved 11 people out and brought 10 in. I think it was like 3.8 years difference. We got that much younger, that quicker. And then what that does for me is, and hopefully for the organization for the long haul, is, you know, though getting a little bit younger, it fits in with the older guys right now, but it also really fits in well with the younger guys that are coming. So we just didn't have that middle band of players, and I was trying to buy some time and keep us in that window with what we did the year before. We knew that the free agency would be probably lessened because of the increase in the cap and what have you. Everybody was re-signing their players, and we were correct in that. It just didn't pay dividends for us last year, but I think it will this year. I mean, you watch Steven Stamkos. I mean, he's got lots of game left.
Oh, yeah.
Jonathan Marchessault. I love the line that they had, you know, Bunting and Holla and Marchessault were excellent today. They were all over the puck, and I mean, you know, if you're a defenseman on the other team, those guys will give you a rash because they're all over you.
I like Bunting. We talked off the air about him last year, and I'm like, okay, I'll trust you on that one. But I like what I've seen towards the end of the year, and then obviously now in camp.
Yeah, there's the, you know, with that group, we want to get a little quicker. Our team speed, we want to get a little bit bigger, and we want to get younger. And I think we're trying to accomplish that. Some people, you know, probably maybe from the outside, the experts, which we've always proven wrong the last 2 years, we're going to try to do it again.
I love that, by the way.
A lot of play with that one yesterday, but it's true. And, you know, we do have a plan. I know sometimes, you know, the reaction when you don't follow the team closely, you know, everybody sort of, I'll say, piles on you a little bit because we didn't have the year that we had and what are they doing. But if you look at what we're doing, we're putting some pieces in there, you know, some profiles. If you look and did a deep dive, we didn't have a lot of size on our back end. We had 5'11 defensemen right through the organization. Well, made a trade, you know, under the radar for Andrew Gibson, who's going to play on this team. Yeah. At some point, we got in a free agency last year and picked off Nick Perbix, who was a little bit undervalued maybe. Even in Tampa, you talk to the people in Tampa, the coaches, the management, they had a lot of really positive things to say about Nick. They just had a very veteran, deep defense last year, and going forward, in their situation, they're up against the cap all the time. They have to make those tough decisions. So hopefully, maybe we can get a player who's in his prime, and we can develop him a little bit more in our situation and maybe in Tampa, because they're in that window to win now. And then obviously with one of the toughest things I've had to do is two players that I really, really admire as people, because they're outstanding people and good players, is what we did with Lazan and Sissons. And, I get emotional because I'm a coach and I have relationships with a lot of these guys. So
you coach Sissons.
Yeah, I coach Sissons. So, and I know them and I have relationships, and those are really hard, but that's a decision. I looked at Nick Hague, who was probably buried in that sort of 4 or 5 spot in Vegas. And then, last year you watch him closely, he's getting a lot more minutes. He's developing. He's a 6'6" defenseman.
Good
who
Lord.
Is 25.
Yeah.
And you watch him, he's playing against McDavid and Draisaitl last year in the playoffs, and he's getting more ice time. And the great thing is the little nuances, we have him with Roman Josi, and we have, if you remember last year, we tried Jeremy there and it just didn't work. And,
right.
And part of that is Nick played left and right in Vegas, and Roman's a rover. We talk about offensive defenseman. He's a roving offensive defenseman, so he's all over. And I think that's why even when Dante Fabbro was here, Dante could play with Roman, but he couldn't play with anybody. We didn't feel he could play with a lot of other players. And when we tried to, it just didn't work. So, we have to make those tough decisions. And we felt, you look at a guy like Adam Willsby, really took a big jump. He was, if you're watching, you're going, I get it.
Yeah.
He's going to move up the ladder. His feet are exceptional. And, so we're building those type of defensemen. And, going back to the Lazan Josi last year, Jeremy never felt good on the right side, but Nick just sort of flows with it because he plays left and right with different partners in Vegas, because they roll 5 sometimes. And, he's playing left on with this partner, and he's playing right with this partner, and it comes a lot more natural. Now that Yost gets running around, it's just sort of natural. I can play both.
Before you go, we've had thousands of guests on this radio station throughout the years. You, Barry Trotz, have the funniest line that's ever been said on our station. I don't know if you remember this. You said one time growing up in Winnipeg, the area, it was so flat that your dog ran away from home. And 3 days later, you could still see him running.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right?
It's like this,
it's the greatest
right
thing.
Here. Yeah, that's I would say, Saskatchewan and southern Manitoba. It is. You come out to Tennessee, and we got the rolling hills, and we got lots of vegetation. I mean, you go outside of you go to Regina, where I played junior, or you go to Winnipeg. You get outside the city, I mean, you can see a long way. Yeah, we would sort of laugh when we'd pull out of the city. When I played junior, we played in I played for the Regina Pats, and we'd have to play in Moose Jaw, and you'd get outside of the city of Regina, and you can actually, in the winter, just the way the, because there's the snow and all that, you could see the reflection of Moose Jaw. Just as you get to the outside, the outskirts, and it's a 45-minute drive, 45 miles, and you can see sort of the lights and all that. It was the longest drive because you think you're going to get there in like 5 minutes, and it was so long. So that's the great thing of, you know, you get to do a lot of different things in this game, and the funny things are those little things that you're like.
Yeah. Did your dog ever come back?
No, the dog, couldn't come back. He got stuck in the snow somewhere.
I have one more on the team. You've always kind of used the phrase that you'd rather overcook a guy in the minors than call him up too soon. With all that said, I look at, you know, and you bring up Schaefer and Kimmel. Those are two guys that I think a lot of people are watching forward-wise. It's my hope, I said this yesterday, that you guys get to right before the season and cut down day, and you're sitting there going, I got to make room for these guys because I have no choice. I feel like that, and there could be others that are right on that cusp. So how much are you looking for that of, I would love to be in the position where I got to move somebody to make room for one of those young guys.
Yeah, no, we're right there. You're very observant. We're getting on the cusp there. You know, it's some guys are coming quicker than you thought. That's where we want to be. I think you want to be excited about the next core. Trust me, the Nashville core that we've had here in Nashville for the last decade has been outstanding. The Roman Yossis, they've been the great core, but the time, Father Time always wins.
Right.
And they're starting to age. So my role, I would say, or my vision when I came here was that we have to build the new core, and it's going to take some time. I don't want to burn it down and not be in the playoffs for 10 years.
Right.
And you see that around the league. There's teams 10, 12 years that have gone right down to the studs, if you will, on a rebuild. And when you do rebuild, two things got to happen. It's got to be the right year where that game-changing player is there. Two, you saw it firsthand. You could finish where we did. We tried to get down as low as we could at the end. And you still have to go through the lottery system. And we lost two balls, and we went back two spots. And so there's no guarantees. I know a team like Detroit, who's on the cusp now, it's been a while, but they burnt it down to the studs where it was a full rebuild. And they never had the luck of the lottery. They never.
Right.
I don't think they ever got the first pick. This franchise in 25 years, and it's – we've done an exceptional job of, I think, drafting where we have, developing where we have, being competitive where we have in 25 years and never had that game-changing, especially up front, game-changing forward.
Yep.
I know when you can read all the, I'll say, the experts, you know, they talk about, the one thing we've never had is that game-changing center, and they're probably correct. That guy that, you know, that's going to be 120 points every year and be the – that we haven't had that. We've had to rely on a team concept. We've been really good at getting goalies, really good at developing defensemen. And so when you get a player, like I look back and I even tell our scouts, like, you know, we didn't draft Shea Weber as our third – he was our third pick. He was the second pick in the second round. To think that he was going to be a number one Hall of Fame defenseman. When he was 18 years old, we picked him to be a really solid third pairing guy, probably a number five who was big and physical and had good character, and he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And we took Pekka in the seventh round and hopefully...
Eighth round,
yeah, yeah. Sorry. And you know, you need some of those players to develop. We took Roman Yossi. If you take Roman Yossi and redraft, he's going to be a top three pick that year. So it's not always – it's about picking good players and good people. But to me, it's developing them and putting them in situations where they can develop. The biggest difference, I think, for, you know, for people that are – we have fantastic fans. They've been loyal, and they're the best in the league. They really are. They turn Bridgestone into a party every night. And they've got to be excited because we're going to have to develop – you know, Nashville has been on the cusp of getting in, and so usually what happens, we have to, you know, David has done an excellent job over the years, but a lot of times you're looking for that extra piece, and the young guy gets bumped out a little bit sometimes because you're looking for that veteran piece to make sure we're in and give us the best the chance to hopefully try to go deep in the playoffs. I think we're in a position now that we have enough talent where we're going to have to develop a few players. I still believe that the road through to Nashville is through Milwaukee, but some of that is that development's going to have to happen in Nashville. Good example. We brought Svechkov up last year. We brought him up. I thought he was going to be a guy. If we had the year that I thought I'd bring Svech up sort of Christmas time, a little after, and he would sort of start that process at the next level. Well, we didn't have the start that we wanted, and we knew where we were, so we just threw him to the wolves a little bit. And there's times last year he looked a little bit over his head. Now you watch him this year, it looks like a different player because he understands the league. He has that gas tank. There's a minor league gas tank, and there's an NHL gas tank,
right.
And at times last year he showed that minor league,
the rookie gas wall.
And it's not necessarily physical. If you talked to Svetter last year, he would say the biggest difference is mental. Like in the minor leagues, you might play three games on the weekend, and it's really hard. But then you get to exhale for 3 or 4 days, recharge, and then you might have to go out again. You play in the National Hockey League, you're playing every 48 hours. So you're getting your head knocked in one night. You get up in the morning and you're sort of trying to get the body back, and you might have a practice, and the coaches are trying to fix what went wrong or trying to improve you. And then you've got to gear up emotionally again to play at the highest level possible. And that is the hardest thing to do for a player. You think about, doesn't matter what job you do, you have to, there's days when you come in and you go, I don't have a lot of juice today, so you can fight through it. Well, players have to do the same thing, and with young players, sometimes when they don't have it, they can't manage it. That's where the veterans guys, they go, you know, the Ryan O'Reillys, I'm sure there's some days that Ryan, because he plays a lot for us and he's played for a long time, he must wake up and go, I don't got much in the tank, so I got to be really smart of how I'm playing here, and I got to get myself emotionally ready. And that's where they got to get themselves into that zone as best they can. And that's a process that young players, young athletes have to learn. So I'm really excited for the future and the now, actually, in Nashville, because I think that we're going to have a really good blend. The coaches have done an excellent job of tweaking things. I think it started last year. Everybody didn't like the way the year went. I think it was you always grow through adversity. And I thought there was a lot of growth after and during the season last year. And then I think the coaching staff have done an excellent job of building relationships with the players, and there's a collaboration between the players and the coaches right now that we're going to fix this together, and we're gonna bounce back, and I call it a little reboot. And sometimes your computer's not turning over as well as you need to, and you're not getting the messages you do. So sometimes you go, why my computer doesn't work? It actually does work. You just got to reboot it, and hopefully we can reboot it a little bit here.
Well, we appreciate the time today, Barry. We're looking forward to it. A doubleheader on Sunday and obviously talking to you throughout the season. So thanks so much.
Absolutely. I can sorry about being long-winded.
No, no.
A little excited today.
Can you go till 3?
Yeah.
We're only here till 3. We don't mind.
We like the answers. We'll have more coming. He's Barry Trotz, Predators GM. More coming from Fordyce Center, Bellevue. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5 The Game at Fordyce Center. In Bellevue, Dr. Crane is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studio. Some of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, or the buzz, is always about great service. Really good stuff with Barry Trotz, Preds GM, joining us. And, you know, look, those conversations are always great and informative, and he is very detailed in how he will answer things. So I appreciate that.
Well, I think the transparency is something that it's just amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really – I mean, he talked to us during the break about all the things, the movers and the shakers and what the ins and outs.
Yeah, that interview continued about 5 minutes
right?
during the break.
So, I mean, it's like you love this. And I know GMs like to kick things close to their heart. I understand that. But at the same time, he's just opening up. Like, and if you're a Preds fan, you love that. I mean, that's your general manager pretty much putting you in the room with him and what's all that's going on. So that was really good.
Obviously, address the Evangelista stuff. They're just not there yet. I think.
So explain that to me. What's going on?
So Luke Evangelista is a restricted free agent, which means the Predators retain his rights. He can't go sign wherever he wants, okay. But he still needs a new contract. He has outgrown the rookie contract essentially. That one is done. And so, a lot of times, what happens when a player is in that position, especially a younger player, you know, them and the agent, they're going to look at it as they want a little more money and a little less term because I'd have to look at age-wise where he would be to get to either arbitration or unrestricted free agency. You'll kind of have the bridge deal. That's kind of where he's at. And, you know, Barry said that they both kind of feel like a two-year deal is right. My guess is, and I haven't done the deep dive into it, my guess is the agent's trying to get a little more money for his client, which makes
sure.
total sense. And the Predators are probably looking at it as, well, you know, we like him, we want him here, he's a good player, but he hadn't really earned it. And I think that's the thing with Evangelista. Very talented player, but he had a down year last year. This was not the year to go into a contract to have a down year.
You okay.
know, and
right.
and so I think you have to look at it through that lens, and that's why I asked Barry about looking at things like a coach. Because, you know, he's not seeing numbers. He's seeing how the player produces on the ice.
Right.
And he was a 32-point player last year. I think he's capable of more. And so that is, you know, that's the tough thing. But at the same time, I'm with him in that I do think they'll get it done. They'll get it done before the season. But that also allows an opportunity for some of these younger guys to not necessarily take his spot, but to push him down the lineup and to, you know, make their name known and take a spot. So it's interesting right now to kind of see how that goes. But I also wouldn't be shocked if, you know, here in the next few days we're talking about a new contract for Luke Evangelista. That's how I see it. But
thank you very much.
A lot more. We'll get back into the Predators later in the show. But coming up next, the Titans and the Colts. Are you believing, because some people seem to be, that the Titans will get their first win on Saturday or Sunday. We'll discuss that coming up next in hour number 2. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.